Being 6 o'clock, I call this meeting to order. Welcome, everyone. It's good to see all of you in person at a very long arm's length. So it's been a long winter of not seeing people, so great to see everyone. We are together tonight to discuss an issue that came up at our last board meeting. A request that we had from our union here at the library, which represents about a third of our employees, to offered us an inclusion type statement that they thought the board should author and be about. So we decided to hold this meeting to discuss that, to see the appropriateness of that at this board level, and just. In opening, I just want to say I really thank everyone for coming tonight. There are a few people that are unable to make it, and we didn't know until the last minute or this afternoon, and we don't have the capacity in this room to do the hybrid model of remote and meeting in place, so we weren't able to offer that. But like I said, we're here to determine whether Great River Regional Library Board, whether it's our role and appropriate to make a statement and just decide on that together. And I just want to recognize that at times these conversations are awkward and uncomfortable and difficult. Recognize that we all come from different places in life and different experiences. Our views and experiences are vastly different, so recognize that in each other. And we also come to serve on the library board for many different reasons. There are county commissioners that are just assigned to the board. I mean, when you are elected as a commissioner, at times some counties, there's six involved, some just get assigned. It's just sometimes your name is drawn and you are to serve on this board. So we come here in different ways. Other members are community reps that are chosen by their county. So just recognizing those different roles. We have many differences on this board, and that's become even a bit more apparent since this discussion and a difference of understanding of what we're to be about as a board. So I'm glad that we're going to have this conversation tonight regarding the appropriate role of the board in this discussion. So with that, Karen is going to do primarily the facilitation part of the discussion. And it's my understanding, as far as the mask wearing, what we've been told in Sherburne is if you're in a room inside a building, you need to have a mask on per the governor's order. If you are speaking, you can take your mask off to be better understood and heard.
And it's great to see everyone in person for the first time since February. I want to welcome everybody who's here, including the people in the audience. This is a difficult topic, and it's exciting to me that we're here together sharing our experiences to actually discuss how we move forward as a library system. One of the things Lisa and I talked about a lot is just finding a way to have this conversation in a productive way. So I brought forward the ground rules that we've been using in our community meetings, and I just posted them there for you guys to take a look at. I think some members have shared what their counties are doing, too, and they kind of speak to some of the same principles. So take turns to speak and to listen. We expect everybody here who wants to speak will have a chance to speak from the board. And then listen to understand. I think we can all expect to hear something different. There's lots of different opinions around the table, and that's what makes our library the strongest, is being able to understand all the different aspects of this topic and being able to figure out how best the library system can move forward. And then be clear and succinct. We do have 2 hours scheduled for the meeting because we wanted to make sure everybody had enough time to speak, but that doesn't mean this has to be a two-hour meeting. So we will take as much time as we need. And if you can get to the point quickly, I think that will help us keep moving that conversation forward. And then the last one is communicate with respect and expect differences. I think we should just acknowledge that nobody's coming from the same life experience, world experience, county experience, community experience, and I think that's really important to acknowledge. If that's okay as the ground rules, I'll jump into some background and then we'll move over to the conversation part. Are there any questions about the ground rules or anything anyone want to add?
Madam Chair, I do. The conversation here will be recorded, I'm understanding. And what will be done with the recording then?
Like all of our public meetings, the meeting will be recorded and post the audio posted on our website with the board records from the board, so like the minutes and things like that.
So the union that we're discussing, the issues with this union that we want to discuss, they have access to our discussion, and the public has access to our discussion. And will it be in the papers?
It's my understanding there is someone here from the media tonight, so I think we can expect that. Thanks for pointing that out, Dave. I think it's important to remember that this is an open meeting format. We'll talk at the end about whether we want to keep meeting in person. It's nice to see everyone, but there's limitations to this format, just like there is for doing a meeting in Zoom. So we can talk about that at the end, too. And the board has been recording audio for its meetings for several years. So that's something we've been doing for a long time, and we're just doing our standard practice with that tonight. Any other questions? All right, my computer has fallen asleep, so this will take a little bit. But what I want to do is give everyone a little background on the work that we are doing and have already done at Great River to get everybody kind of on the same place of understanding with the work of the library as it stands. One of the things I want to point out is everyone in this room shares the love of the library and recognizes its importance in the community. And I think that's a value we all understand, no matter how we came to the meeting tonight. And we're very fortunate to have an engaged board who's willing to tackle a tough topic. Right. And I was recently in a training offered by the Community Foundation, and they've offered a series of webinars on diversity, equity, and inclusion over the last several months. And they recognize that this is a difficult topic, too, and have provided a lot of resources for organizations and nonprofits to figure it out. And I have faith that the Great River Board and the library system as a whole we'll be able to approach this in a way to build consensus and a path forward. Having this conversation at the board level is really a first in terms of a deep dive in terms of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and it demonstrates our commitment to serve and represent the people of our six counties. Words are important, but actions speak louder. In a recent webinar offered by that community foundation about efforts to build bridges and engage in community conversations, Great River Regional Library was listed as a community resource on equity and inclusion. So I think it's important to recognize we are a place where people come to as a resource for this topic, even though this is a difficult conversation today, perhaps. One of the things that they highlighted in one of those webinars, too, is if we are comfortable, it is likely someone else is uncomfortable. So if we're all a little uncomfortable today, I think it's in an effort to try to make more people comfortable with the library in new ways. So diversity is not limited to race, age, gender, faith, veteran status, or ability, and Great River is committed to serving as many people as possible. And all people can access the resources. And you can see here, this is our core value statement, our vision, our mission. Carlin shared some of this in the document that's in the packet as well. And I think it's important to recognize that all along we have said we are inclusive and embrace diversity. That is something we passed back in 2015. And I think she also called out that community focus is a big part of that diversity and inclusion. Another board member has pointed out to me, we challenge ourselves to always do better. And I think that's an important thing to recognize, too, is this work will never be done. And the fact that we're tackling it and talking about it today just demonstrates our commitment to do that. One of the other pieces I wanted to point out is Great River historically has not been an organization that passes a lot of resolutions. So there have been six in the last 20 years that did not involve funding, forming another library, or a letter of intent around a grant. So I've provided some of these as examples today. This particular example was a call to action from 2002 in support of the library development and services at the state library. The state library at that time was, the state was going through some tough times and was looking at cutting the state library. And so Great River actually passed a resolution in support of keeping that department at the state level. So it was very library related. Another resolution that we have passed was a letter of support back in 2010 for Minnesota Community Collaborative Broadband Project. So this was very much in support of something that was going on in the community and just kind of endorsing that direction. Two other resolutions that I don't have text for because they were so old are a resolution recognizing Merle Leonardson, who was the first regional director of Great River Regional Library, posthumously for her work at Great River. And in 2005, there was one recognizing Pat Christensen as and naming our All Staff Day for Pat Christensen, who had worked for the library for 34 years and actually had served in an interim director role. So those were two additional resolutions I don't have text for. The most recent one was, let's see, the broadband vision. I think some of you were on the board when this happened. This is from 2016. It is part of the Rural Broadband Coalition, and it's just recognizing as a library system, we do support the access to broadband internet in all of our communities. So this was the most recent example of a resolution. This is not, and I will point out that most of the things that we have signed onto were not written by Great River. They were something from an outside agency, and we said we signed onto it. And it's been several years since we've done anything quite like that. The only other example I have was from 2011. If you remember when ebooks were new, ebook pricing for libraries was a hot topic. And at one point, we said we were going to stop purchasing from HarperCollins because of their pricing practices. Since then, I believe we started actually purchasing, but the ebook model and market has changed quite a bit in those 9 years. So these are all of the resolutions I could find within Great River's archives that actually show what Great River has made a statement about in the past. Jumping back to our core values, and Carlin pointed out some of this in her document as well. Our strategic plan currently has three service priorities and two organizational priorities: literacy, access, lifelong learning, exceptional service, operational excellence, and community focus. And I think it's important to note that a lot of these we were planning on keeping even in the next strategic plan. If you remember at the beginning of the year, we had hoped to have the strategic plan updated by the end of this year. COVID and the pandemic has kind of taken that in a slightly different direction. But I think we are on a path to getting that completed. One of the biggest changes that we made when we wrote this plan was that community focus prong. Great River was founded on a philosophy of equity of service back in 69. And it had evolved to the point of equity of service, meaning every library has the exact same thing. And we took a step back from that back in 2015 and said, equal isn't equitable. And just because a small library can't do something doesn't mean a big library shouldn't be able to do it, or vice versa. And that philosophy has dramatically shifted how we've been able to deliver services in our region. It's been really important to recognize equal is not equitable, because we have been able to take fund development dollars and do pilot projects. Our hotspots that we just received a grant for We were able to deploy in communities with the lowest connectivity in the region rather than trying to get it out to all 32 branches. So that was a foundational and huge philosophical change that I would hope we would continue in the next strategic plan. I want to also point out that we are beginning to work on the diversity, equity, and inclusion toolkit that came from the Charities Review Council. That toolkit is something I learned about going through the Community Foundation webinars, and we have members of the Great River Board from the last meeting willing to work on that project. Zuria Anjum and Carlin Forner have agreed to meet with me and help figure out how we're going to survey different members of our community, our stakeholders, our patrons, and our staff. We also have Amy Schronk from our staff and Ryan McCormick from our staff who will be on that team with me. And we hope to have those results in time to incorporate them into the next strategic plan update. So I think it's really great that we were able to find a toolkit that kind of spoke to this topic and a way for us to measure in to an outside standard whether or not we, our people, our processes, and our power are actually going the direction we want to in terms of including and providing access to as many people as possible. I think that's our shared goal. We want as many people as possible to access the library. And so what are those barriers and how can we overcome them is what the toolkit will help us. We also have an internal staff group. And since I'm kind of done with this, I'm going to bring the lights up so you don't all fall asleep. that met yesterday for the first time. We had intended to bring this work group together in March, and then the pandemic hit. In January, we had over 40 staff come together who had gone to training around diversity, equity, and inclusion over the last couple of years, and we brainstormed and put together our heads and said, okay, from our shared understanding of what this means, how can we move this topic forward at the library in a way that helps provide access to the most amount of people. And we came up with a lot of ideas, and the leadership team reviewed all of those ideas at the beginning of March and said, these are the realistic action steps. Some of that stuff is already started. So we did a diversity audit of our collection to see how many our authors of color are represented, how many people from different perspectives like LGBTQ folks are represented not only as authors, but as topics of the book or subjects of the books. And so we now have a better picture of how our selection processes can improve to be more inclusive and make sure those voices are included in the collection. And other action steps we also have identified is making sure we have best practices for community outreach. You remember last year we did our LSTA grant. And one of the things we learned is what works in St. Cloud doesn't work in Cold Spring. And so how do we connect with people who are not actually coming to the library, but we know we want to reach? And that answer might be different in Cold Spring than it is in Melrose or Long Prairie or Monticello or name the community. So our hope is to find out what are those best practices. And we have a staff member who has said, I am passionate about this. I've already tried and I know what doesn't work. And so I want to find out what does work so that I can share it with everyone in the region. We also are looking at adding multi-language resources and making sure our forms are in multiple languages and finding ways to do that best. And then we're also looking at ways that our staff can deliver more diverse topics in terms of our displays and our programs and making sure that they have the training to understand how to do that in a way that actually speaks meaningfully to the people who walk through the doors. One of our staff members, Jamie Trenum, often talks about a training she went to where they talk about doors, mirrors, and windows, and how the library serves a role when people are new to the community to make them feel welcome when they walk through the door, and how can we do that through the collection, our displays, and our programs. So I just want to reiterate, more important than any statement that's made by the board is a sustained commitment to doing the work of ensuring equitable access to all. I think the toolkit is one step that we're taking in that direction, and we've talked about that at the board level already. It would be great to have an endorsement of that work if that's the direction the board wants to go. But if you have any questions or want me to highlight any of the things I've covered, I'm happy to do that. I'll pause here and see if there are things that you'd want to discuss. Is there anything that you noticed from what we've got in the board packet or what I've talked about today that stands out to you?
Go around the room?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Does anyone want to go first? Otherwise, I'm just going to start going around.
Mm-hmm. Now,
George?
Yeah.
George is brave.
Uh-oh. So I guess for me, I need kind of a clarification, and I need help on clarification. Are we considering doing a statement because there's problems at the library, or are we considering doing a statement to satisfy the union and the community that we said something? There's a distinction there. If we have a problem with the library, definitely we need to look at that. So I guess I need some clarification.
This topic, yeah, go ahead. You can be next if you want.
Yep. I just have a question for clarification, too. Tonight is a work session, so discussion is going to be held. What is the intent after the discussion? What is your intent as a chair or as a director of the library? What are we going to do? We can't make a decision tonight. We can have discussion, but there is officially no action taken at a work session. So if we have discussion, what is the intent at our next board meeting to do something to make a formal statement if that's adopted, or not make a formal statement? Is that what we're going to decide?
Management needs direction from the board on how you'd like us to proceed. In terms of the work session, we did set it up as a special session, so action could be taken, but at this point we don't have a statement for you to take action on other than what was proposed by the union.
So this is a special session, so we can vote on making a statement tonight.
If you so choose.
Okay, because I was misunderstanding. I thought it was a work session. So I would like to just say I've talked a little bit with Karen about this, and very uncomfortable for, I think, at least our county to say we want to take a stand on an issue. There are six counties involved in this library system, and I think that when I read our core values address the issues, I think, very accurately. I can't see one thing I am opposed to is the statement, and I told Karen I'm opposed to, because I'm a former police officer, retired. When we say we oppose police brutality, that doesn't mean that there's guilt out there. That just means that there, you know, in some issues there are bad policemen, and some issues are not bad policemen. So I would say if we would poll the crowd here, we're all opposed to police brutality. But does that mean we make a statement about it? No, I don't feel we should make a statement about that. And I guess I have another question. What does systemic mean? Can somebody give me a definition? Because I've looked it up, and it doesn't accurately portray the statement that I see. So what is systemic racism?
Looking to the more expert people on the board here. Feel free to jump in if you want to. I can take a crack at it.
Systemic racism is that you encounter racism in your everyday life with everything that you do. When I go to the grocery store, when I go to my job, when I come to the library, when I go anywhere else, I'm treated differently because I am not a Caucasian. And that is what systemic racism is.
Explain how you're treated differently, if you could.
Let me tell you some personal examples. Before COVID, if I would go dressed in my work clothes, which were obviously business clothes, to any kind of grocery store or any place, I'm treated much differently and with much more respect than if I go from home in my regular home clothes. Yesterday I was in Minneapolis grocery shopping, and I asked a person to step 6 feet back from me because he was standing right behind me without a mask, and his answer was, "You're not from here, so you can't ask me what to do." That's racism. I'm a physician at work.
That's a prick.
Every time when people ask, "Is she qualified? Did she go to a med school? Can she speak English? Is she a good doctor?" That's racism, because I have the highest degree that all medical graduates from the U.S. have. I have the same level of education. I took the same exams and passed them, paid the same amount of money that they did. That's systemic racism.
Well,
when the library puts signage in March outside for all the information about we are closed, we can pick up, it was only in English. Did we think there were some other people who needed that information in a different language, so they come to the library, all they see is English signs, they have no clue what it means, the library is closed, and they go back? That's racism, because you assume that everybody's English has enough knowledge that they can read and understand.
And I don't want to get into an argument, but you just made a statement, that's racism. You did not say that was systemic. When you talk about systemic, that is not applicable, because that is a personal feeling. That is not a system. The one issue you brought up about language, and maybe that is a systemic issue. But if you have a personal feeling, that is not, to me, a systemic issue. And when we say we oppose police brutality, which is a different situation, we all oppose that. We don't want any police brutality. But let's follow the system and say you're innocent until proven guilty, not guilty before you're proven innocent. That's what I feel
I'm
very
strongly
about.
I'm not talking
about
police brutality, but I would like to say that there is an assumption that you should be able to understand English, or you should be able to know things, that is assumed from people of color, and there is no exception made for them in regards to the fact that they are newer to the system or to the area. All people in the U.S. are immigrants, whether you came 200 years ago, 400 years ago, 20 years ago, it doesn't matter. So there needs to be the same attention to give them some margin, as knowing that their language, their way of living is different, which is not given and is ridiculed and belittled at every turn.
I have one other statement to make, and I'll shut up. I am a very firm believer of the unions not running the agency. I'm a firm believer of the agency runs this board runs this agency, not the unions. And all the unions can make requests, but that doesn't mean that we are, as a board, going to do what they request. I just am a firm believer of not losing our managerial rights, and I'm a firm believer of keeping our authority as a board and running this library. So
I'd like to just make a few comments. Going back to what George is just clarifying statements, I believe we left our last meeting with a comment from the union that we had all gotten, and with some board members feeling like we needed to, as a board, to make a statement of sorts with all that was going on in our communities, our society during this time since the death of George Floyd. There was some disagreements with that, so I believe tonight we are to determine whether we are going to be making a statement. I think it's going to be really difficult to try to drill down with defining systemic racism. With all due respect to everyone, you know, I've been in a program for 2 years studying some of this stuff down with the CSJ sisters at St. Kate's. I still don't totally understand it. I know I never will totally understand it. I recognize that. But some of these, I think, to get into the definitions and all of that is going to be really difficult tonight. I appreciate the comments totally, but I hope you understand it'll be more than 2 hours, so we're going to parking lot some of this. We had talked about this, that we will write terms down. We will write things that come up that might need to be addressed at another time or in another way. Okay, so I'm going to have Karen start putting some of these terms on a board that we can address. So, Carlin.
So I was inspired at our last meeting by a comment that Lee said when we were talking about this, and Lee said, "I think if you go back to the record, you'll see that we've already done this." So I wanted to see what Lee meant, because I'm a relatively new board member, and And so I went back, the reason that I put together this document that's in the packet was I went back to see what we had done. And when I was reading through the core values and our service priorities and our organizational priorities, but especially our core values, we make so many of these statements already, regardless of the statement that the union gave to us. You know, we're not bound to that statement. I don't think that this meeting needs to be a yay or nay on that statement. I also was doing research on what other libraries, you know, boards, directors, what sort of statements people have made in this moment. And I think that this moment calls, regardless of how it came to be that we're discussing this tonight, I think that what is happening in the world right now, it makes it important to make a statement about what we said we are already doing to reaffirm this to our communities, because Central Minnesota and the counties that Gray River serves looks very different than what it looked like even when I was growing up, right? And I'm not the oldest board member here, but it looks very different in the last, you know, however many years. And we say so many things. I mean, we are inclusive and embrace diversity. We challenge ourselves to always be better. We provide free and equal access to information. We operate with respect for all. I think that the current moment that we're living in, it would be a powerful statement for the board to come out and state, this is what we stand for, this is what we have stood for. And then Karen just listed a number of things that the library is already doing on diversity, equity, inclusion. The library is already taking steps because we care about being inclusive to all of our community members. So regardless of what the first sentences of these statements are, and I understand that people are coming at this from very different perspectives, but and that's also why I was providing some of these examples and was highlighting the sections in red, because I think that some of these things that are in red are things that are actually already in our core values and in our priorities. And so recognizing the diversity of the communities that we serve, I think it would be a powerful statement for us to even reaffirm the values that we say that we're about and highlight the steps that we are taking and how we're going about doing that.
I would agree with Carlin, and I think the library, even in the time of Jim Crow, the library was a place for all people. It was a place that was very inclusive, and I think that's really important for us as a board to be able to show that we truly believe that it is a place for all, where all are comfortable and all are welcome.
I'd just like to say, Karen, thank you for all you've already done and the staff for all the work they've started, and especially to Carlin for trying to clarify this for some of us. Just want to ask, so the red is statements that you feel that we already have done?
Yes, and it's not exactly, but these were, when I was reading it and reading through these seemed like statements that were already in line with some of our values or not far away from where we were.
Okay, and then the blue is, I wasn't quite sure what the color codes are.
A link. The blue is just a link.
Link, okay. And then back to Melissa, who was the person you just said?
The Jim Crow laws.
Okay, you're a library person.
Well, no, the laws that were in place in the South during segregation.
Okay.
So you had to use separate water fountains. But a library was a place where all were welcome, even then.
Thank you for clarifying that. And lots of learning to come and clarification. So, thank you.
Thanks, Jay.
Everybody's had good statements along the way. I've been writing some things down. I do like George's that we need clarification on what the value or what the mission is of this tonight. And I also like, coming from the county board, Dave's thought that, you know, unions don't run the library. This board of trustees runs the library. They work for the library, you know, and we make the decisions of the library. And going back to what's her name's comment on language, I just had a quick thought.
My name is Zuria, by the way.
I had a quick thought at that point in time that, you know, I live on a, we run a dairy farm, and almost everything we buy today used to be just in one language. Now it's in two, and now it's in three. Other than the Spanish, I don't know which other language it is. I'm sorry about that. But we are inclusive, even in the agricultural background, because we see that every day.
I wasn't sure when Carla said, I'm not the oldest board member. She looked this way. I think she was looking at Ann. I just want to make sure. I'm teasing. A little bit of levity always helps a little bit. My thoughts are, at this point, someone smarter than me said, especially in these times, we need less heat and more light. There's so much heat to everything, and I think the risk that we run to getting to Dave's point is we're not political, nor should we be political. Right now, I would love to spend 2 hours talking about the budget because the state's in a $4.7 billion budget. Counties are going to be cutting their budgets left and right. I've shared things with Karen and Ed and Lisa with my concern about the St. Cloud contract and what's going to happen with that. They're financial. Let's face it, we will have nothing to share or not share if we don't have the resources, financial, to make this happen. I think we should be very, very careful to be dragged down trying to start making some political statements. And I'm curious, did the union themselves come out with a statement? I haven't seen nothing in the St. Cloud Times. I haven't seen nothing. And maybe they did and I missed it. But or Karen, do you know?
If you look at the document Carlin provided, they actually are asking to do a joint statement, and they had provided the text as a suggestion at the last in July. So that's kind of where we're at with that.
And I think it would have been helpful if they felt that strongly to make the statement themselves and lead, again, light, and whether or not we decide to go with it or not. If we decide to take a formal action or not, does that mean we obviously, and when I say we, long before me and long after me, the boards have obviously supported what you've done and what you put in place. And I know that you've tried during the time I've been on the board to make it very accessible and very open to everybody. Sometimes too open. You know, when it has come to the homeless population, some of the crime issues that we've had, some of the board members, including me, have been a little bit uneasy about how open we've had it to a point where, let's face it, there was a fire that was started and it cost millions of dollars. So how do you balance that? I don't think those concerns are racist. I don't think those are anything. Those are real. And, you know, so we really got to be careful, I think, in making statements and formalizing resolutions. And there's enough show, there's enough heat. Let's lead by light. Let's keep doing what we're doing. Let's keep funding the programs. Again, Dave said, and I agree, none of us here, in my opinion, are intentionally racist or intentionally sexist or intentionally, call it when you're not sensitive, unsensitive. It's just a reality of the times and how we're viewed. Everybody, you know, I love judges especially when they say that they're not, they don't judge. Well, of course you judge. Everybody judges. It's what you do with the judgment. If I see that Lisa's a woman, okay, now I recognize that she's a woman. Well, what do I do with that? Do I not hire her? Do I not talk to her? Do I try to do things that aren't appropriate? Those are all wrong. But I've judged by seeing that she's a woman, that I see that she's a certain within an age group, not the youngest or oldest board member, but that she's in a. So what do you do with that? That's what's important. And to my knowledge, we've lived what you've established over the years. We continue to support that. I don't think we should make a statement. We already have. We've led by light, not by heat, and I think we should continue to do that.
So respectfully, I would like to state that you don't see a problem because this is your white privilege talking. Why do we all say to our kids, our loved ones, I love you multiple times? They know it, Why do we have to say it? To reaffirm it, to show them that we care. You tell your kids every day, I love you. You tell your spouse every day, I love you. You tell your parents every day, I love you. They should know that. We shouldn't have to say it. It's said there already. It's in the light. But everybody needs that assurance. And people of color are looking for that assurance from this library at that time. To say we are already doing it and it should be apparent, what is the problem with reaffirming it and saying it if we are already doing it? We are just reinforcing it. If we are not saying it, we are sending a very strong message that every other organization in this country and this world is speaking up and making statements about saying this, but yet we are going to withhold it because we are already doing it. Are we saying that those organizations, those communities, those businesses, were they not doing it? And so that's why they made the statement? They were all doing it. But this is a time to reaffirm our commitment to it. Just like I tell my kids, I love you every day when I put them to bed. I don't need to say it. They know it. They should know it. But I feel good saying it because I reaffirm my commitment and my love to them. And that is why a statement is needed.
So it's like, to me, it's a matter of degree. I didn't count the words that are in our core values. Let's just say there's 15. So if we put up to 40 words or 45 words, would that make feel better, you think?
It depends on what words you use. There are a lot of statements that have been made by different organizations that are platitudes of just saying we welcome all. And that is it. You need to show with your statement that you actually mean it. You welcome all from different races, different religions, different sexual identity, different cultures. And if you notice that there have been incidents or problems with those people, you as a board or we as a board commit to making changes so that incident does not happen to another person of color.
What has happened to somebody in the library? I have maybe a misunderstanding why we're here tonight. I think we're here tonight to think about the library, not society in general. That's what I'm thinking.
I understand.
You're making general statements.
Nope. Do you think that nobody in the library has ever been called a nigger or an offensive word regarding their race or religion?
No, absolutely. I've been called bad things too.
Well, I have heard those things.
Yeah. No doubt.
So bad things are bad things, and so we need to make a statement on that.
In every situation.
Correct.
I hope you can help us craft that statement, because that's going to be pretty difficult.
I can certainly do my best.
I think there's a few members that still haven't spoken.
From others. I think, as I want to reiterate, I believe our job tonight and what I heard at our last gathering is the union put a statement out, a strong statement, asked us to, we urge the Board of Trustees of Great River Regional Library to take stance against these social ills by making a public statement. This was given, sent to board members, and there were board members that felt strongly that we should be making a statement. So I believe tonight is our time to determine whether that's the role of this board or whether we think that's appropriate as a board to make a public statement such as this.
I want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to speak, but if you don't want to speak, that's an option too. It's totally up to you. And I think we were kind of almost to leave, so it's up to you, Lee, if you want to keep going that direction or we can...
Could I make another statement?
It's up to Lee.
Oh, you. Go ahead.
So I have no problem making a statement, but I do have a problem with some of the parts of what the union said. And let me just read them. Oppose police brutality and systemic racism that is present in our community. Where is the proof that it's present in our community? There's no analytical data to support that statement.
I can get you the data if you need. I can present it at the next board meeting.
I'd like to see it.
Sure.
I imagine others would too. Okay.
It's not going to be specifically for this area because that has not been done, but it's in the U.S.
But it has to be because that's what this statement says. This, our community.
Okay, systemic racism in our community. I can look for that too, but I don't have the data specifically for Stearns County or these counties.
These words make a difference if we're going to make a statement.
So let's, Carlin, 30 seconds.
Yes. In going back to systemic racism and thinking about the our community part of it, I think that one example of this in the library would be, and this is not about intention, this is about historical structures and how people have lived their lives and how structures operate in our lives. But one example of this is our staff, which is not, this is nothing about the qualifications of the staff or anything like that, but it's about who are our staff members. Our staff members are white. We have white people in most every single position across all of the libraries. Our communities aren't that white. Now, the issue with that is that this is also a question of how people are hired, who feels comfortable applying for positions like that. Like, when our staff reflects the diversity of our communities, then do we need a cultural navigator position like we had with the LSTA grant? Make sure I get that right. Once we have a diversity of staff members who can represent a variety of the community members that live in all of our different communities across the county, you know, then we've arrived a little bit more. But until then, if you're a person of color coming into the library and there are only staff members who are librarians and, you know, who are serving as staff, do you feel as comfortable as if you are a white person who was born and raised in central Minnesota? You know, there's a different level of comfort with that. And all of those things are a part of systemic racism. And so I think, you know, regardless of if I don't think that we need to be tied to the statement that the union provided us as saying, yes, we're for that or against that. I think that there is so much that is already in our core values that we make these statements already, that by going back to the values that we state that we have and saying that we affirm them, that we reaffirm those statements, and that, like Zuria was saying, we commit to changing and actually taking action steps to make sure that we're living up to those values, that sure is a good start. Like, that says a lot just by doing that.
Okay. Anyone over on this side of the room?
Well, individuals have the right to express what they want. It's voluntary. Unions can express an opinion if they want. It's voluntary. The library is a tax-supported entity, and paying taxes is not voluntary. It's a different creature. I don't know that while the intent of the union effort maybe noble, maybe not. Maybe it's self-serving. I don't know, but I think it's misplaced for the organization to take a much different position than we have in the past on this particular matter. My initial reaction to this whole effort for the organization was, somebody almost burns the library down. We don't have a special meeting. We shut down for months, dramatically alter operation. We don't have a special meeting. This topic comes up, and we have a special meeting. I would think those first two issues were important, too. So maybe we need a criteria for it. And then some operational stuff. We need a policy because every organization, every public organization that operates on an agenda basis has a deadline for when topics can be brought onto the agenda. I don't see where this specifically does. And the last meeting, for this to come up the night before, that was an ambush. They knew what they were doing. And that's not a good, if they genuinely feel the way they express they feel, well, then you don't operate that way. So I think that this is a power play. I think their points they make are insincere. And I'm less likely to support any significant change because of it. So they're free to share with their opinions, letters to the editor, whatever, and they can as an organization. They can let us know how they feel, what their opinions are, but I don't see where this board, beyond doing the update, needs to act on that. Finally, one of their suggestions that they made was the annual seminars and so forth. There's some of that type of thing is happening already. This morning, Stearns County, along with a couple of other counties, had a webinar titled How to Work Effectively with People from Different Cultures. I think that's what we're getting to. It was recorded, and it'll be played later. I'll find out when it'll be available. But relative to the library specifically, having training, I think that too should be voluntary for staff. If staff want to sit through something like that, great. If they don't want to, great. And it shouldn't be tracked in their personnel file, whether they did or didn't. Relative to the law enforcement aspect of it, I want to make you aware. This fall, the deadline is September 17th. If you're a resident of St. Cloud, Sartell, Sauk Rapids, Waite Park, or St. Joe, there's something called a Citizens Police Academy. And what it is, it's for the resident. It's put on by those police departments I cited for the citizens of those areas. I sat in it last year, the 16th annual. Coming up is the 17th annual. If you want to appreciate police practices, understand it's selective. You can apply. Doesn't mean you'll get picked, but they do it every year. If you don't get in on it this year, you get in on it next year. This last session consisted of 8 sessions on Thursday nights in a row. It ran from 6 to 9:30, and it was all about police practice and included a ride-along and included gun safety training, and it explained police practices. So if you're sincere, if you want to jump on the bandwagon for the George Floyd thing, go ahead. But the local outreach is available. And if you want to genuinely know about that, that was the part that shut me off. I had the same reaction you did. But there are resources available in a variety of ways. We don't have to take action as a library board. I'm just pointing this out that this is available to citizens. And if you don't know about it, well, keep talking it up, and maybe folks like me will point it out.
Hey, take off. At the beginning of the year.
Pull it down. I don't understand it.
I'll mic it too. Sorry. I added
your 2 points on the parking lot. We do review the bylaws at the beginning of the year, so it'd be a good time when we do that to kind of dig into how things go to the agenda and how special meetings are determined. And then I added some information about the trainings you provided, too. Thanks, Lee.
When we did have an issue come up on our board relative to, what was a polite way to say this, unsolicited advocacy. Is that polite? Is that polite?
Sure.
And we wound up adopting a code of conduct for our board. I brought a copy along. I'll leave it on the way out. But if I had to boil it down to one word, respect. I've had enough.
Okay.
If you talk longer, you can keep your mask off. All right. Randy, do you have anything you wanted to say?
Oh, I had a lot of things. I must have read this here. I read it once. I read it twice. First thing, again, I kind of piggyback what Dave said. What's wagging the tail here? Is it the union or is it the committee or the board member of the Great River Regional Library? I guess, and after I kind of thought about this here, my mind was really running. And I'm just going to give you one question, and then are we looking at doing a resolution for this? You know, are we able to, I get more than one question. Are we able to, the word police brutality, I could have thrown up when I seen that in here. Because, again, how they're just picking one thing. And I could have changed that word, but I'm not going to. But I'm gonna say, how about could we also support brutality to police? I mean, there's a lot of things I could go in here, but I'm not going to go into those weeds. But I remember, and I took political science. This was back in, I'm not going to age myself, but this was a while ago.
Lincoln signed land grants.
Yeah, and our high school teacher brought a black professor in. And here's me, a junior in school, going to this. And, you know, did we have too much interaction with people of color? However, very little, because guess what? I was born on a farm, raised on a farm. And that guy, I would ask, for some reason, I just started asking him a lot of questions. And then my teacher instructor was Malevich. He was from Sauk Center. And for some reason, I remember this now as it's coming through. And I always did remember it, is that he always said, or not always said, he goes, after he's gone, he goes, if I could teach you kids one thing, he says, the word racism. He says, the word racism is a moral issue, and it's not a political, as you're here. And I'm sitting there going, I didn't really understand that, what he was saying at the time, because, you know, whatever. But I think that's what it's coming down to right now, is that this word, to me, is getting so watered down by what his statement was. It doesn't. We all become mind readers. If we disagree with someone or we agree with someone, you're a racist if you disagree. Well, I didn't mean it that way, you know, but some people take advantage. And Zira, she made some good points where she was that way. But me, as growing up on a farm, I was considered a dumb farmer. Okay, was that racism? I was a Polander. There's a different word used for it. If a Catholic married a Lutheran, my God, you're going to go to hell. I mean, those are things that go through time and, you know, change. And right now, it's just like we're getting this here word put onto us, and it's losing its meaning, my opinion, you know, because everybody, and it's just not from one culture to the other. I just look at that word and I go, what, are you a mind reader? Are you just telling me I'm a racist? No, I didn't mean it that way. We all say things maybe that it doesn't come out because our mouths move quicker than our mind does. And again, yes, there's people out there that you're going to find out that, yep, you know, they're going to say mean things. We have that in this society. We had it when I was growing up in high school. So, I mean, those are things that we look. So I guess my question, too, is, if we would go to this, can we change things? Or is this what we have to adopt? Or, you know, are we just looking at this? But if I want to add a word or a sentence, can I do that? So I'll be quiet.
Well, Randy, again, I go back to what I believe we're about tonight is determining the role of this board, if appropriate at all,
to put out a statement of any kind. Not what the union said so much, but is it the role of this board? Is it part of our work, do we believe, to put out a statement of any kind at this time?
Beat that. It's a moral, I got the moral issue part. What was the first one, legal issue?
Political.
Political issue.
Sir, yeah. I just want to reiterate what you just said, Lisa. Nobody in here is saying that the only statement we can make is the statement
Correct.
That was provided by the union.
Correct. No.
Nobody is saying that they came out with the best statement and this is what we have to stick with and there is no other option. All we are asking for is a statement. It could be 5 sentences. It could be 10 sentences. It could be 100 sentences. It could say all sorts of things. It doesn't have to touch on police brutality because that is not what we are dealing with here in this library. That's a very separate issue. So taking it to police brutality is just taking it to a whole different level, which is not the conversation that is happening tonight. Tonight is what we are saying is this library is a place for people of all color, all races, all religions, all sexual identities to be able to come and feel welcome. If we have those statements in our mission and our value statements, what is the harm in putting the same statements together again, making a statement, and putting it out there at this time? Just to reaffirm our commitment, as everybody else in this country and this world is recommitting to doing it, because we have certainly not done enough. And that is what we are asking. Please stop referring to the union statement and their power grab or stuff. Not even one word from this statement has to be used. And nobody's asking or advocating for that.
Well, Madam Chair, if I may, then that's out of the realm of what we were intending to discuss was what the union had sent to us. This request now is a little different than what we had as an original request.
What I remember from our last meeting is that the union sent us this statement the night before.
Yes.
And that there were people on the board that felt like we as a board should make a statement. Not this statement, but a statement of sorts. Correct me if I'm wrong, others. And I heard strongly from board members that we needed to make some sort of statement during this time in our lives, in what has happened and transpired since George Floyd's death. So I said we will gather to discuss whether or not we think it's appropriate for this board to make a statement.
We are.
Okay. I'm sorry. I feel like I've said it 5 times. So I think our role tonight is do we feel like we need to make a statement or not?
All right. I get totally confused because I don't remember us saying that we need to make a statement. I believe our statements were we need to meet and discuss this issue. I did not recall us saying we need to make a statement.
No.
So maybe I'm wrong.
There were board members that asked us to make a statement.
Well,
that
some
said,
board members.
Yes, some board members.
I was not included in that.
I agree. I said I think we need to gather to decide do we –
Well,
need to make a statement
okay.
or not.
No,
so I'm sorry.
The building can burn down, but we got to make a statement.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there were some board members that felt we should make a statement.
Mm-hmm.
And there were others, probably the majority, that thought we probably shouldn't make a statement. So that's, I'm the one that suggested we meet in person because it's so emotional and charged.
No,
topic.
This is great.
Yeah.
And we,
yeah.
need to talk about it.
Yeah, so I think our charge tonight was do we need to make a statement or not?
All right.
Is what I understood. And I apologize if I wasn't more clear with that. I'm going to continue going over here. Michael Potter, would you like to make any statement?
Hi, welcome
would you
to
like
the
to
Great
talk?
River Regional
I'm
Library
not gonna
Board.
Not going to use the word statement.
We discussed this at our board,
mm-hmm.
and we were of the consensus that statements such as this do not belong in this arena, that this is a library. Actions speak louder than words. We have it in here with our core values already, and there's no statement is necessary other than just reaffirming what our values are here. No political thing. This is not the proper arena for this. That was our board's take, and we discussed it this morning about this particular meeting about this. The only other thing I have to say about what was sent to us, I'd ask any of you here, have you ever been to Shaker Heights, Ohio? Have you ever been there? Do you even know where it's at?
Cleveland.
That's a suburb of Cleveland, first-tier suburb. River Forest, Orland Park, Niles, Maine. I've been to these places. We're not like those places at all. Any place around Chicago and Cleveland has other issues that we don't have here. Hopefully we never have here. Statements made in here, very little relevance to where we're at in this thing. So when I see this is that you're picking out places that are not even relevant to what Minnesota and everything else here go. But back to the thing, actions speak louder than words, and I would be disturbed. In fact, I'd be really PO'd if any person walking through that door, regardless of color, race, religion, creed, sexual orientation, whatever you want, would be denied access to this library or any library, because this is something that this is something we're all supposed to enjoy and supposed to help make us all better. This is an improper forum for such a thing to make a political statement.
Okay. Yep. So I come here tonight thinking our core values kind of cover what the library is about, what I understand it to be, visiting a number of the branches. To Zuri's point, many of us have faith. Why do we go to church? Why do we go to a mosque? Why do we go to a synagogue? It's to reaffirm our direction, our commitment. And I guess I challenge each of your board members, read the core values and look at the organizational priority section. And then look at the top of page 2. And so, Karen, Carlin, thank you for putting this together. The Urban Library Council statement on race and social equity. I don't see anything political there. I don't see anything that points out police brutality. It's basically reaffirming our commitment to the communities and those that maybe are underprivileged on what the library is about. That Urban Library Council statement is not perfect, but I think it captures more of what this organization is about versus what our core value organizational statement is. And I'd like to hear if anybody's got any thoughts on that.
Does anyone have any reactions to what Wayne just asked? Saria?
I would just like to say that I've heard from a lot of members that this is a political statement. Racism is not new. We all know that. It's been around for centuries. It's recently become political, and it's politically good to be on one side and show your affiliation to that. The amount of hate crimes that have increased in this country in the past few years have never happened at this extent before in the more recent past. So, saying that racism is a political term, I do not agree with it. I think it's a pattern of behavior that has been there throughout for generations. And us saying that it's a political word is taking a cop out and saying, oh, this is political, so we are not going to touch it because we are non-political and we don't want to go there. That's a cop out. It's something people who come to this library face every day. And as this board, it is our responsibility to reaffirm to those people that it is our commitment to make sure that they are all welcome here and that we will do our best to see if there are any issues or situations that come up, that they feel free to come to somebody and talk about it and get some resolution.
Before we move on to the next question, I do want to share comments from J.C. Wallace, one of our other board members who was unable to attend tonight. She did send them and asked that we share them at the meeting. And she apologizes for not being able to be here tonight. Her opinion is that the current core values expressed and already approved by the board are inclusive enough to answer any questions about where Great River Regional Library stands. However, if she was here, she would encourage the board to make a statement to its employees and patrons reiterating these values and encouraging all of us to be particularly aware of the part of the statement that says we challenge ourselves to always do better. So that was just her perspective she wanted to share with the board tonight. Are there others who want to make a comment at this point?
What's the game plan, Karen?
Well, my next question is, what are the next steps?
Yeah.
So as a member of management, we need good direction from our board. I think hearing all the voices here tonight, you can hear how it can be sometimes challenging to figure out the next course of action because there's such a wide range of perspectives around the table. But Great Rivers Board has always come together and found a good direction for us to follow. So I'm confident we can get there. Does anyone have a suggestion for next steps?
Madam Chair, would it be too simplistic? We heard everybody. We've all listened. Would it be too simplistic to make a motion? And whether or not we do or do not make a statement, and then act on that motion? Because there really seems, maybe I'm too simplistic, but if there isn't the feel of the board to make a statement, why do we want to go through and try to devise one? Now, if there is flavor to do the statement, well, then that's where we need to go.
And we decide on
so
our
is
next
that too
steps.
Simplistic? Or?
Well, and that's kind of was my goal when Karen and I.
Someone should make a motion.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm going to make a motion that we do not make a specific statement in regards to this, that we reaffirm our core values to our staff and external, and that we don't make a specific statement on this directly, but we restate the core values that we've already done.
I second.
Okay, there's a first and a second. Dave seconded.
Madam Chair?
Please.
Patty's going to clarify the motion first, if that's okay.
Sure.
So just to read it through once, it was a motion that we do not make specific statements with regard to this to reaffirm our core values to staff and external patrons, or just the community.
Right.
That's all right, David?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Back to you.
Okay. Comments and questions with regard to the motion?
I just had a comment because, Madam Chair, you are our leader in this, and we still haven't heard from you tonight, so I would like to hear from you.
Thank you. Karen and I have talked almost every day since the last meeting coming because Karen and I both have heard a lot from board members on both sides of this issue. I can tell it's causing a lot of thought and challenge with board members all over the board. I want to say that I myself recognize my own racism. I believe that we are all racist coming from our own, how we were born and how we were raised. And I believe I am committed to, as an individual, unpacking some of that and really learning and doing a deep dive personally on things like racial injustices and systemic racism. And I recognize that we have it in our communities all over, wherever we live. So I am committed to doing that personally. I struggle with the role of this board in making, I was not in favor of the union statement, how it was written, and I struggle with the board making a statement and the role of this board. So personally, I take full responsibility in doing my own work as needed, and I've committed to that myself, and I will continue that. It's not simple. It's multi-labor, and it's years of history. So the thing I struggle with is appropriate role for this board in it. Thank you. So we have a motion. Any other discussion or questions or comments or clarifying?
Question about the motion. Is this a public reaffirmation of our core values, or does that mean that we're just going to continue, like, say that we reaffirm our core values here? Are we going to restate them in any way? Does that go with that? Or is this non-statement reaffirming our core values really not doing anything beyond just this moment?
And I think my intent, and I think the way Patty read it, was to reaffirm, to make the statement to our staff. So we're going to restate our core values to our staff and to the public. So simply, we're not going to say we're responding to the union request. We're not going to say, we're going to say we want to reaffirm our core values of the Great River Regional Library, and this is what they are. Because I would guess, I don't think there's a board member that knew what those were until this came up. And certainly the staff can be reminded. You do your staff in-service days. I know that you talked about that with them. It's good to reaffirm that. But the public, I'll guarantee you, 99% of the public doesn't even know we have them. So it'll be good to state those, restate those, and establish that we've talked about this long before this happened.
Yeah, we did.
So they will be posted in the newspaper, on our website, or else.
I would like it posted in our branches.
Yep.
Branches, absolutely good.
Good, Dick.
I have a question. So would you want it, like, are you saying that you would have it stated the way it is with bullet points, or are you saying you would put it into a statement similar to some of those that Carlin in red had shown? Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I didn't think of it that deep, but my gut reaction would be, unfortunately, in today's society, people have a five-second attention span. I would keep it to the bullet points, and then with a disclaimer on the bottom saying, for more in-depth, you know, however you want to call it, for the more in-depth core value, go to this link or something. But if you put the entire core value in the statement, you're going to lose people in 5 seconds, in my opinion.
See our strategic plan roadmap. It's going to be time to be updated anyway. It expires this year.
Jane?
I was wondering if we could have it in multiple languages, too.
Thank you.
Like,
yes.
A link. Everybody's thinking that, too. Like, even at the front doors. Like, whatever the main language. I think we know what language is the most popular, second, third of every county. That is well known, isn't it?
In our county, we would need more Spanish. So.
And then Russian, I think, is third in some, like Sherburne.
Yep.
But it would have a link to multi-languages.
Other comments?
Madam Chair, call for a roll call, please.
Can you please read what is the motion then exactly to make sure we totally understand what we are voting on?
Yes, I'll have Patty. I'll have Patty read that. Any other discussion?
Second. Yes, I second.
Yep, there's a second.
The motion that I have right now, and we can definitely edit it, was that we are not going to make a specific statement to the issues, that we were going to reaffirm JRL's core values to the staff and the public. So that's just my rough sentence of it. Are there any words that you would like added to be more clear?
Madam Chair, no, that's the motion.
Okay.
And Dave?
Chair, why do we have to say that we are not making a specific statement? Why can't we just not start with, we are reaffirming our core values?
Well, Madam Chair, Patty's, that's not her issue. That's how I made the
motion. That's the motion.
Yeah.
Right.
Maker.
And even if the motion is made this way, that it wouldn't necessarily be shared publicly that way. It's just that is what the motion is, that the board is choosing at this time to not make any specific statements, that they're just reaffirming the core values.
We're not going to make a new statement. We're going to reaffirm our core values.
The only thing that'll be posted.
Is that your understanding, Jim?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Other clarifying questions or comments? Okay. Hearing none, we'll vote by roll call. Patty will call the roll.
I'm good. Okay, so.
Oh, I feel like we're on a Zoom call all of a sudden. Sorry, I could call the roll. Or we could just go around the room.
Patty,
it'll probably be easier.
Alphabetic order. So, Zuria.
Madam Chair, I'm still confused about the motion.
Okay. What? We're not going to make a new statement. We're not going to be producing our own statement. We are going to reaffirm our core values as our showing our commitment to inclusivity and diversity and have those in different languages, which was agreed on to be posted publicly and for our staff.
Just to be clear, it would be we commit to the core values of exceptional service with the bullet points, forward thinking, and community focus?
Yes.
Yes. So my vote is
yay. I can put them up on the screen again if you want.
Yes. So my vote is yay.
Sorry.
Okay. I've got that as a yes.
Okay.
Okay. Wayne?
Aye.
Jeff?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Melissa?
Aye.
George?
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
Carlin?
Aye.
Dave?
Aye.
Lee?
Aye.
Ed?
Aye.
Michael?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Thank you.
Do you want to make any comments, Karen?
Thank you for good direction. Thanks, Patty, I forgot.
Thank you for your good direction tonight. I know we don't do a lot of deep dives on topics, but it does show our commitment as an organization to the importance of the direction of the organization. And it helps to have clear direction as management to know how to move forward with where we want to go with the library system. So I really appreciate all of the ideas and perspectives that were shared here tonight. And I enjoy working with all of you. And this was a difficult conversation, but I'm pretty sure we just got a unanimous vote. So I call that a win for Great River. To get to the end of a really difficult topic in about an hour and a half and end up with a unanimous vote. So thank you for that. I think the only other thing I had was, what do you want to do about the next meeting? So I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. I, too, want to just thank everyone for being here again tonight and for the difficult conversations. Karen and I literally have talked probably 3-4 times each day trying to figure out how to come to this. And I hear the criticism of, you know, we've had all these other big things and we've never had a special meeting. And I, as board chair, I thought this was really important for a special meeting. So fault me if necessary. I found this topic very important for us in our society right now and for us as board members and for the library. So I appreciate everyone coming to the table and that we were able to come to a conclusion and a consensus on this. Our next meeting is September 15th.
Personnel and probably finance. And so this is what the in-person environment looks like as of today. It's really difficult to do a blended environment for us. So what is the preference of the board? Do we want to go to another in-person meeting like this, or do we want to go back to Zoom? I know at least one board member may have challenges in attending in person. So,
Madam Chair, more important than that, Were we going to combine finance and personnel, so we were going to start the meeting at 5:30, or is that or 6, or?
We can't combine them.
Well, not we, combining, oh. Shortened one in the
meeting. We could try to schedule one a week off, but there is a lot of emerging issues right now that I think each committee will have to tackle, so we'll do the best we can. It's hard on Patty to have multiple meeting dates, so I try as best I can to. Yeah.
Dates, finance would take 15 minutes, maybe personnel.
We are going to need longer for.
Yeah, we will.
So, I think we need to determine Zoom format or meeting like this, knowing that one or more board members might not be able to make it because of health situation or others with COVID. So. I want to be respectful.
Chair, as virtual. Little as I hate it, but I think we should go to Zoom because we're going to have packets we have to look at. I can't have a table in front of me with another person. So I would rather stay at Zoom where I can have the packet in front of me and lay it on my kitchen table so I'm a little more comfortable.
I'm seeing heads nod for the Zoom capacity for purposes now. It's not our favorite. This is the biggest group I think I Zoom with.
Yeah. It's not me. I have 39 counties have a meeting with MRC. So,
wow.
I mean, I don't know if we Zoom, but we do online, and that's a mess.
I bet. So, thanks for your patience with the Zoom meeting.
Plus of the Zoom, I sit on a lot of meetings, too. You get some committee members where you get, and if they could go to a better clarification or better Internet access would be great because that just disrupts the meeting, in my opinion.
Yeah, some people have to only go on by their phone. And then you get a clear signal. Some, if it's on their computer, Mr. Pop, I've noticed you cut out quite a bit. So you're broadband in your county. It's something you got to work on. As we all know, all of our counties. So we're going to move back to Zoom. Stay tuned for personnel and finance details coming out soon. Our next meeting is September 15th, and with that, our business is concluded, so we are adjourned.
Madam Chair, if I may, to Randy's comment, we made a decision, I believe, before Randy came on the board that we used to schedule longer meetings, and we decided that each personnel and finance had to be at least a half-hour schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you were on the board then, but.
Yeah.
This is my first day.
Well, I don't know, Randy, if you came on the board then, so.
I don't remember. That was a long time.
There's a lot that's happened.
Get a ponytail then.
Yeah.
Okay. Our business is concluded, so we are adjourned. Thank you.